Because my family, my natural family, was not associated with that. Now, there are some here tonight, your family members are associated with that, with the body of Christ, with the body of believers in the kingdom of God. And so there is almost like there's double closeness there. Amen? Anybody witness to that? Okay, what was the scripture I gave you? Matthew 12:46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Now, up until this point, it would appear that he was very subjective, submissive, and close with his family, natural family. This is the man Christ Jesus. And now we see this introduction of a statement. But he answered and said unto them, who's my mother? Who's my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. And he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now, there's an awkward statement for you. Bunch of fishermen, guys standing off to the side, you know. And he says, this is my family. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I remember asking the question early on. Okay, so we got people visiting the church. We've got people who were just baptized. You know, we've got people who just received the Holy Ghost. At what point do we begin to refer to them as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Well, I never have got good resolve on that. But this scripture is pretty clear. He that doeth the will of my Father, that's my brother and that's my sister. And so in response to the word of God, the individual who says, yes, Lord, and as, you know, the light comes to them, they begin to walk in the light. Light is understanding. The word of God was preached and ministered. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, gave him instruction about the redemptive power of the blood through the water baptism in Jesus' name, said they could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So in a day, family grew. They were the brethren. They didn't maybe even know them personally yet, but they became a part of the brotherhood. I was in Taiwan for a business trip for 10 days. And 7 days in Taiwan, 3 days in Hong Kong, something like that. And I remember getting weary of the business people that I was traveling with and the pressures of being in Taipei and all that avails itself there. It was just a darkness there. Well, when I got to Hong Kong, and I'm traveling with this one particular fellow, he was the interpreter, and I said, you know, there's some people here that I know, and I plan to connect with them. I wrote them a long time ago, said I was coming, and I want to connect with them. Well, they just listened. And it was kind of like, well, if it fits in the schedule, we'll see if we can get you there. And then the day that I had arranged to meet them, at their church, they were having a teaching session of some kind. And so finally I said, now I got a meeting. I've been traveling with this guy for quite some time. I got a meeting, and I'm going to make that meeting. Oh, man, traffic is very bad this time of day. And, you know, making all these excuses. And I said, listen to me. I'm going to this meeting. You're going to get me there. I was so pressed in my spirit because what they represented all this time, I was longing, I was hungering, I was thirsting for a refreshing. There was no edification in their company. And so this gentleman finally said, okay, I'll get you there. And then, you know, they got rid of the rest of the people. So we ride in his car through traffic, get to this building, get in a very small elevator, packed with very many Chinese people. And we went up to this seventh or eighth floor, got out, and I looked through a little glass window into some sanctuary. And there were the people that I knew, and then they were teaching this small group of Filipino people. And so I walked in, sat down. The person who was teaching kind of wrapped up and then acknowledged that I had walked in the room and said, Brother Schoonover, would you please come and pray for these? I'm like, can you reverse that, please? I am in such need right now. And as soon as I laid my hands on somebody, began to pray. The edification began to come. The Spirit of God began to feed my soul and my spirit. And in moments, I was with my family. People on the other side of the world. People I'd never met before. But in a moment of time, there was a witness of the Holy Ghost. There was a bond of brotherhood. I just met 8 of my Filipino sisters. For me, it was miraculous. I've gone into some churches. I didn't think I'd even belong there. Never mind be related. But there's something that happens in the bond of the Spirit that reaches far beyond religious culture. I know that people belong to clubs and they feel pretty tight with those who are identifying around their same hobby or some situation. I lived next to a guy that had VW sprint cars. They were little race cars. And they acted like how close they were and knit together as a family, but it was usually after a case or two of Schaefer that they felt bonded. Jesus said, this is my family. Now, a new believer would have to stick around a little bit to really find that out. Because as you fellowship in the Spirit of God together, there is a bond that comes. Now, these are the reference again. We're not just believers, but they were who? Those that did the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Praise God. While we read into some of these scriptures tonight, I want you to think. I want you to think, go through the recesses of your mind, of a memorable situation or moment where either a brother or a sister made an impression or impact on you that stands out above others, okay? That stands out above all others. That you knew, that's my brother. He was a brother to me. Because we use the references sometimes lightly, almost as a Mr. or Mrs., you know, Brother so-and-so, Mr. Heiner, Brother Heiner. It's almost like a, you know, calling card, a reference that way. But there is a place of brotherhood. And I believe, well, let's go to the Word. Let's go into the Word here. Proverbs 17 and 17. We're just going to read down through several scriptures here, okay? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The NLT reads, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. In other words, you know, friendship goes so deep, so far, certain situations. But some situations become difficult. Some situations become dire and painful. And I believe what the scripture is telling us is that a brother is there whether things are going well or they're not going well, and even more so when they're not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I want to read to you out of the Amplified. Show respect for all men, treat them honorably, love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God, honor the emperor. The command, or it's beyond a very strong suggestion, the instruction to love the brotherhood. You know, we're all natural. We're all human, filled with humanity. And it's, we have differences, and understandably so, right? And it's easy to group up. It's easy to group into peers, some larger, some smaller. Some, there's only one individual they identify with, and that's who they may be around. Loving the brotherhood calls for action, doesn't it? Loving the brotherhood calls for actions towards believers who are doing the will of our Father, but they may be very different than me. It forces my hand. With me? It should force my hand that I need to act in areas that are unfamiliar. There should be a certain amount of pressure on me, or I hate to use that word, but that I would feel a responsibility to walk in areas unfamiliar, uncomfortable, and just not the way it always is for me, or where I like to be, or who I like to be with necessarily. Loving the brotherhood. The statement that Jesus makes, when they see your love one for another, they will know that you're my disciples. Almost as though that should be the norm. Or if it's not there, that's where we should be headed. And that there should be some kind of impact upon the observing world around us. That now there's a bond that you just don't see anywhere else. It should cross all barriers. It should cross all cultures. Because it's relative to the family of God, to believers. I want you to pray with me right now. In the name of Jesus, I know that your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. But I pray, compel us yet even tonight, Jesus, to see as you see. Reveal to us in a greater way from your word, your perspective, Lord, your insight. In the name of Jesus, Lead us in a way, Father, that would not only bless us, but it would bless you, Lord. Jesus, we pray. Jesus, we pray. Amen. 1 John. Now, you're thinking, right? Remember? You're thinking. And you're recalling. I'll never forget that event, that situation, because that act of brotherhood so impacted me. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. It's not a bad idea that if you have your Bible sitting beside you to turn to those scriptures. I realize Brother Kendrick's helping us with the screen and everything. Doesn't hurt. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That seems extreme to hate. But he's telling us if you don't love him, there's no variable in between there and hating him. Kind of like, you know, there's really no option here. I want you to love your brother. There's, Brother Kinnick, what does the word effacing mean? Look it up for me. Okay. There is a certain amount of effacing that has to take place within us as an individual. Because he said to erase a mark from, there's reference points that we set. There's parameters that we set. There's some people that are so far off our radar because we have a mark right there. And then on this other end, there are those who, oh wow, they are, you know, I'm so... And so we got a mark on this end. There's a certain amount of effacing that's got to take place in us. Whether it's we make the attempts to remove those marks, or it is by the grace of God to remove the marks. Can I just share you a brief story here for just a minute? It was one of the most major reference points in my life. You remember Chester Stedman? I prayed and asked him. I asked the Lord to talk to him, have him call me. He moved back to be with his family back in the East, Midwest somewhere, and changed his phone number eventually, and Steve lost contact with him, and so we don't have contact with Chester. I'd love to contact him. I'd love to see what he's doing. But he would walk across town when I'd be sitting here in the office all by myself. It had been raining, and he would walk all the way from where he was living up there off of 512. It'd be raining, so he'd come in with a black plastic bag cut in the shape of a sweatshirt over top him just to keep from, you know, getting soaked. And he'd come into my office. He'd say, hi. I said, hey, Chester, how's it going? Oh, good. Okay. That was our conversation. Okay. He'd head out the door. He'd walk across town in the rain. It might be in another day or two. He'd show up back here, knock on the door. We'd have, you know, 4 or 5 word conversation. And I'd said 4 of them. No, he starts to say a little bit more, but it was only acknowledgement, you know, of, okay. And off he'd go. And after about 3 or 4 times, he started one of those, okay, see you later. And I'd say, hey, wait a minute, Chester, you know. And I walked out here and I stood in the aisle here and we begin to talk. I'd ask him questions and he would give me an answer of some kind, never a full sentence. And I felt something begin to happen. I never forget going home and telling my wife, I said, honey, I think the Lord is loving Chester through me. Because the compassion that I'm feeling for this man, this isn't me. I know me. I got my parameter marks and I've had them a long time. And so whatever's transpiring here, I think this is the grace of God. Well, most of you here know the story and how long that transpired. And then the thing is that, you know, one day I saw him in a coat and I said, man, that's a good looking coat, Chester. The next day it was wrapped in a bag at my office door. I still have the coat. I still wear that green coat. My wife just washed it the other day, finally. No. It means something to me. I'll always have that coat. It was one of the greatest acts of brotherhood that I can ever recall. Now, he's brought gifts. He's gave gifts to your kids, your families. If you remember the Christmas banquets that we would have and he would come in and, you know, he seemed to be the man of honors there because he began to transform us. His presence here and how God began to love him through all of us, it affected us. Am I telling the truth? I knew my watermark had been moved. But it probably established another watermark. You understand? That's the mark of flux. You flux back and forth and you push up against it and, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this is as far as I go. You know, you can trust God. You can trust him. He's not going to endanger you. You got to use wisdom. But you have to let him work. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, you're thinking. Has anybody went ding? Anybody? Well, most anybody. Anybody recall a situation? Brother Thompson, come on up here and tell it.
Well, I'll try to keep it brief because it could be a long story. But our children are adopted, and God has blessed us and brought them to us in different ways. But I remember with Michael, he was with foster family through the state, and we were looking to adopt. They pick three families, and then they start researching and looking into this. And it was weird that to us, that out of these three families, one of them was the foster family that he had been with since birth. And they were a Christian family. And good people. We still have contact with them today. And they, you know, watch Michael grow. And we've spent time with them at different times. But I'll never forget their attitude in that situation. I remember, you know, we're thinking, you know, God has a plan and you're saying you can trust God and you can trust him. And I couldn't figure out, we went to see them and they invited us to go and go to church with them. And we did. And I'll never forget the feeling of we're here. the state is going to give us this child that's been with them since birth, and they were applying to adopt. And I remember thinking that the attitude that they came across of God has a plan, and this is it. It's not for us to have him, but it's for you to have him. And it just really spoke volumes to me that you can trust God, and he puts these things in your life that that was an act of brotherhood. They were ready and willing and happy for it, that it was the plan of God. And it was really neat for me.
Thank you, Brother Thompson. We're thinking. Philippians chapter 2, at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Now that wasn't like a Spider-Man thing, you know, like shoo. I've been around situations, or I've observed people who are doing their best to put on servanthood so much that they were proud in it. It's like you're defeating the purpose here. You're so humble, you're gagging me to death with your pride. Oops, sorry. We'll buy another one. I think there is something learned. I think there can be something taught. I think there's something that can be caught. That in, you know, when a person is just real, to me that's humility. When I say real, genuine, you and I are talking on the same level, and you feel it and I feel it. You're not under pressure thinking somebody's over top of you. Okay? I think there's something very key in this, in our approach one to another. Agreed? Praise God. I appreciate it when somebody comes and talks to me and just is themselves and is very real, and I'm not having to sort through all the stuff. Okay, I hear all of what you're saying, but what are you trying to tell me? Okay. I would like to stay on this for a minute, but boy, I'm really hesitating. If an individual is inspiring for a reputation, they're doing the opposite of what the Lord did. If I'm aspiring for recognition, I'm doing the opposite of what he did and asked us to do. Okay? All right. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, we have any more dings? Any more dings? Robert? Brother Robert? Brother.
I'll keep this short. Two stories. Story number one. I had the opportunity to go to Alabama and do some training there. And through Brother Garcia, he told me, oh, you're going to Alabama. I know an individual there. And I had no idea. I didn't know anybody there. He's like, maybe you can connect with him. I know him from Oregon, so do you want to give it a shot? I was like, sure, why not? You know, don't know anybody there. And spent 2 months, 2.5 months there, and I got to connect with Brother Wallace down there and his family. And they picked me up, took me out to eat. I spent time at their house, just fellowshiped with him. He asked me to, if I wanted to help him with his shed, and don't really know how to build a shed, but, you know, give him a drill, give him a hammer, whatever he needs. But it was the time that we spent together. He had never met me. I never met him. But the connection that we had was God. And we sat there and worked on his shed, and we just continued to fellowship with each other. And the second story, I was in Afghanistan, and I was sitting one clear sky night, and I was a little upset because I didn't know anybody. And I was like, all right, God, I feel alone. I have nobody to talk to. Within 10 minutes, two individuals, two coworkers came down, and they asked a question, and that turned into a 3-hour discussion of God. And it amazes me how far this brotherhood really goes. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. And I'm firsthand, I experienced it. Alabama, saw it there. Afghanistan, a country, I saw it there. And just blessed, really am.
Thank you, brother. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. What I want to read to you behind that is the NLT, a few verses. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters is the admonishment. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remembering also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. These writings are instructive. I started off by talking about the dimension of manifestation of the Holy Ghost that presents a bond. Like a supernatural act. With all of that in play, there's apparently a necessity to have instruction in the Word to do these things, be these things. So I'm going to suspect, obviously, that there's times that it doesn't feel natural, but it's the right thing to do. Amen? To pursue brotherly love. This Sunday, we have announced that we will have, number one, we're going to host communion, offer communion. And then, and it won't be the only time, and then we're going to share a common meal. We have often talked about the book of Acts and the power resident in the book of Acts. the miracles by the hands of the apostles. You know, we're excited about those things. Outpourings of the Holy Ghost, people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Entire cities being baptized in Samaria in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Great joy and miracles, the hand of God working in all of those things. And the chapter, or the a couple of chapters there, seem to be summed up by this one thread. They had all things common. Some have asked the question, when will we see the manifestation of commonality come to the body of Christ in this day and age that we're living in? See, it's not something that can be dictated, but again, something learned, learned behavior, something caught, something pursued in God. We are all born with a selfish nature. Every person in this room is born with a selfish nature. Some of you were probably fortunate and you grew up and you had parents that showed examples of giving. In other words, surrendering that old nature or stepping away from the selfishness and moving to a place of serving and giving. I hope you're one of those. And then there's the rest of us. It's been a journey and a struggle and a trip and a path to be on to come to a place that, you know, what's mine's yours, so to speak. I mean, if you want my truck, ask for the keys, please. Do not just come and take it. Praise God. And so, when we come Sunday for that common meal after the service, could we do it in prayer? Could we do it prayerfully? Could we do it mindfully? Waiting on the Lord, coming out of that time of communion and our discerning of the body of Christ? Can it be different than a potluck? I've seen that word thrown out there a few times. Let's call it a common meal. Let's make it common. Let's share it. Sorry, potluck, just kind of like throw it on the table and see what happens. Same concept, I understand. Amen. Okay, we got time for one more ding. Brother Kendrick, you raised your hand.
It took a little bit before this one came back to me. I had heard stories when Bishop had gone to various things like manifest meetings and been connected with people. Never really experienced that for myself. When I was at Call to War, you remember Travis Haley? There was a guy there, and his name was Travis, and to this day, I don't even know. We might have a little bit in common, like for hobbies or something like that. I don't know. I actually have no idea. Yeah, something with sound, maybe, possibly. I don't know. But that was so secondary to what happened there. It was incredible. It was, in fact, I'm really grateful that I had the stories that Bishop had shared of it happening to him before to prep me for it, because it was just that bizarre, right? And it was, what was so cool about it, though, and I remember this distinctly. I've experienced before where the Lord prompts me to go pray for someone. It was the very first time I'd ever experienced what it was like to go and pray with someone. Both me praying with him, he praying with me. It was nothing I'd ever experienced before. It was so incredibly powerful. It was like what I would imagine, like Moses and Joshua, like David and Jonathan. It was this, you know, literally at one point in prayer, I felt myself holding the sword. And in other times in prayer, I felt that he had it and I had his back. And it was this transition back and forth. And even continuing off, you know, talking afterwards, you know, him in the back of the red Volkswagen rental car that I was driving seriously. It was just throughout that whole time, there was something far deeper and far more precious. And, you know, I've always been someone who has never, I've never really had a lot of friends per se, better recently, but not as much when I was growing up. So I never really kind of knew what it was like to kind of have that experience, a only child for, you know, 10 years or so. And to some extent, even after that, if you ask my sister. Never really experiencing what it's like to have that closeness and to feel that connection in the spirit is so precious and so powerful. And it gave me, also in that atmosphere, I think, especially, but it gave me a brief glimpse into what could be accomplished in the spirit when that sort of camaraderie exists.
Praise God. Why don't you greet your brother? Greet your sister? Take a minute before you leave tonight. Speak to somebody you have not spoken to. And you're dismissed in Jesus' name.